The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Shapiro, and today we're going to discuss customer marketing. Joining us today is Zach Wenthe, who is the Director of Customer Marketing and Thought Leadership at Treasure Data. Treasure Data's customer data cloud helps enterprises use all of their customer data to improve campaign performance, achieve operational efficiency, and drive value with connected customer experiences. And today, Zach and I are going to discuss how to turn customer marketing strategy into pipeline growth. All right, here's the first part of my conversation with Zach Wenthe, the Director of Customer Marketing and Thought Leadership at Treasure Data. Zach, welcome to the MarTech Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you here. Love the setup. Your sweatshirt actually matches your background. Not sure if that was intentional. And for anybody who's just listening to the podcast, not seeing this on video, Zach is perfectly clad in purple. And we're excited to not only appreciate your setup, but also talk a little bit about customer marketing and some of your thought leadership at Treasure Data. The topic today is how do we turn our marketing strategies into pipeline growth? And I feel like that's something that we struggle here with. I've got a million different ideas of how to differentiate and market and position our companies, but often the way that we want to appear to people doesn't always translate into the bottom line. How do you think about making that connection between your strategy and your business results?
So I think there's two buckets that anymore marketing is kind of falling into, right? You have the attention awareness bucket where we're doing the traditional, the brand, the positioning, the messaging, all of these things that we want to get us out in the marketplace. The next part, though, is the actual demand generation, demand capture side, which is taking that attention that you believe you deserve, but actually kind of turning it around and saying, what is that end marketer or that end consumer, whoever you're targeting to, what do they need? What do they want? And how do I put something out there that's valuable for them? So my job is, I have that dual title thing, right? That director of customer marketing and also kind of thought leadership. So I kind of straddle both sides of that. So I sit on this idea of how do we put new thoughts out in the marketplace? But then how do we do that in a meaningful manner so that our customers ultimately win the marketing game?
I'm glad that you brought up the bifurcation of demand creation and demand generation. And I've heard it described as demand creation and demand capture. So often, you know, as a marketer, we're being asked to do two things, just like you've got the split title, which is get people to know about us, to like us, to trust us, to be interested and understand who we are and what we care about. And then on the flip side, get all those people who you've now built some sort of awareness and affinity for, get them onto the website so the sales team can capture their email address and start selling to them. Talk to me about how those two things are related and how they affect each other.
Yeah. So at any given time, there's maybe 5% of your total addressable market or your ideal customer profile or whoever you're selling to. Marketers, we love our acronyms, but really what it all breaks down to, who are you selling to? Half of the time, those audiences are not in a position to buy. They don't have budget. They're just poking around and learning from you. So really, demand capture is around find those 5% who are in market and find a way to get them in, whether that is really tactical content and marketing strategy. So RFP guides, right? SLB to B. So 90% of the time, there's some sort of RFP involved in some cycle. So getting a tool to help somebody understand how to do a better RFP cycle or questions to ask or get better demos out of the process. Those are very low-hanging, tripwire kind of content that really you just want somebody who's already in market to kind of fall over and be like, oh yeah, I need that. And yeah, I should go ahead and talk to them while I'm at it. Now, take that all the way up the chain, though, is how do you get their attention in the first place? And that's that demand generation or that awareness building, that attention capture kind of strategy where you're putting out content to make them smarter, make them feel better, make them grow, ultimately at some point in time, hoping that when the time comes around and they're now being in a much more tactical mood, when they stumble across your content again, or hopefully you have an amazing automation and follow-up sequence, but even if you don't, when they stumble across they remember your name. So it's that pairing of right time to buy, but you don't know when the right time is going to buy. So you got to build and manage that awareness side.
How long have you been at Treasure Data?
2 years, actually.
Which is like a lifetime when it comes to marketing technology. The reason why I ask is the category that Treasure Data is in has seen some incredibly fast title shifts. Where at first it was category creation, maybe this is a max of 5 years ago. Everyone needs a CDP. What's a CDP? Why do I need a CDP? There's this new thing, a new TLA, a three-letter acronym for anybody who hasn't been listening to this podcast for more than 10 seconds. CDPs, that's the new thing we need. What are they? Why do I need them? Right? That you have to go through the category education and then who's the market leader. And now, fast forward 2.5 years, we went from what is a CDP and why do I need one to everything is a CDP and there's composable CDPs and do I need to tap directly into my database, a single source of truth. Right now, there's 15 to 100 vendors, depending on how you classify what a CDP is. And you're in a kind of a hand-to-hand combat for differentiation. In the meantime, you still have to do the demand capture at the same time. As your industry has changed, how has your marketing tactics changed in terms of building awareness and then also capturing the demand?
So we're in a really weird situation in the sense that Treasure Data went through an acquisition and then a spinoff too. So on top of all of that, 5-6 years ago, we were acquired by Arm, the semiconductor company. And they had this vision, SoftBank was one of our early kind of investors, and they had this vision of combining the power of customer data and all the transactional and the behavioral, all the things that we were really good at kind of making sense of, along with IoT. So sensor technology and chips. So if you go to your refrigerator and it's empty, being able to tie the data from those IoT smart devices together. And it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think the world adapted IoT quite the way Arm was envisioning, and along came another company called NVIDIA, who made an offer to buy Arm and said, hey, look, we don't want a software business. We're hardware, we're chip. This is what we want to do. We want to buy Arm. So at the time, we were spun out. So now during all this meteoric rise and growth, we had this change where we went from standalone to now part of a corporate who we were still selling CDP, but we were also in this weird window. So it's been an interesting last 2.5 years since we've been kind of independent again, because we're now going out there and acting like, even though we're one of the largest independent CDPs from a revenue perspective, we're acting like a kind of a brand new startup where we're rebuilding, going to conferences and building awareness and showing up. And we did it all during a pandemic. There weren't trade shows in 2020.
It was a great time to be a podcaster.
Exactly, right? So we had to find new ways. And so my job as CDP evangelist, I go out and do podcasts like this, webinars, events, a lot of them being virtual, and just having those conversations. Like, I've been in marketing and MarTech for 15 years, marketing overall for, you know, over 20. And so it's just having the conversations with marketers to rebuild and reintroduce ourselves to that marketplace. At the same time, trying to figure out who we actually wanted to be. Now that we're independent again, what's our sweet spot? Where's our positioning? And who do we win against? And who do we best serve customer-wise? So part of that was not just building this mass kind of attention-generating engine, but it was also a disqualification engine. Who do we not want in our pipeline? Who do we not want in the market? Because as you said, there's hundreds. CDP Institute says there's 180 plus named CDP vendors now. Everything from your largest marketing clouds all the way down to email solutions that have added on CDP capabilities, right? And so we're not a one-size-fits-all. Nobody is. So it was really around getting clarity, both from a marketing and messaging perspective, but in tech, from your product team and your product owners, and where are we going to drive a roadmap that is still relevant to that messaging and that positioning and that awareness in 18 to 24 months?
So tell me a little bit about the process there, where you're an established company. Obviously, there's been an identity shift going from independent to a subsidiary and then spun out again. But you had a rare opportunity to be an established brand that was basically restarting, I don't know if it's a brand identity, but a focus. How did you think about pivoting the brand or reestablishing the brand in the same time while you were managing your pipeline and your customer growth? How do you change who you are and how people think of you while not just throwing away the focus on how do we make some money this quarter so we don't sink the ship?
We were fortunate enough to come out of the situation very well funded. We came back out and had a funding round kind of pre the financial lockdown of everything, and had one of the actually the largest funding round for CDPs as far as anybody in the category. And so that gave us runway. I mean, we always want to have pipeline. We always have targets. We always have those things. But we then could go and say, who do we want to be? And that was I hate to use the word multidisciplinary because it's such a cop-out, but it was product team was involved, product management, product marketing, marketing strategy. And it was really, who do we win against? And that was the conversation that was, if we're in a battle against vendor A, are we in the right battle? And how does that look against vendor B and vendor C? And so we kind of started building these battle cards against all of our competitors and said, we're all in the same space, but the category is mislabeled. So let's define our own category. And we started to look at what do we want to own in the customer's minds? What do we want to own from an outcome perspective? And then fortunately, our founders came back when we spun back out. So we had some legacy knowledge and history. And so everybody got together and Kaz, our CEO, said, I want to own this thought. And the idea was connected customer experiences. How do we help brands, not just marketing teams, but operational, sales, all these other people who get a lot of value from customer data? That is what we do well. We do it better than a lot of other marketing only or channel specific CDPs. So let's start there. And we built from there and we continue to evolve and add that messaging.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. So let's close the loop after you go through and you do your competitive research and try to figure out how you're going to differentiate and which part of the market you're going after. Okay, great. Let's go hit the trade shows and tell everybody we're not marketing only. We are a team agnostic CDP that creates connected experiences. Logical. Sure. Great. We got to go fill pipeline. How do we take that strategy, put it on the road, not only build the awareness and what we stand for and how we're positioned, but also then make sure that it is driving business results? Walk me through the next step after you figured out the identity piece.
So our new CMO, Mark Tack, joined us July of last year and with a big pipeline focus. And we made some organizational changes. So for example, one of those is our ADR, SDR team, who typically in a lot of organizations report into sales as part of that initial qualification call, all sit in marketing. They're part of our growth engine. so that we can go and have a trade show and not just generate a whole bunch of leads, but immediately get them into a working system to qualify in or out, and then define, are these truly not just marketing qualified leads, but are these opportunities? And I think that was taking that MQL language out of our goal and focus. It's not how many leads can we generate in a quarter, but it was how many opportunities that we were able to hand to sales that were ready and scored appropriately and whatnot. And so I think it was just a shift in focus. So it was quality over quantity, and then aligning teams around that new vision.
I feel like the term MQL, or all the traditional sales verbiage, has become a dirty word in marketing or revenue generation now. And in reality, it is important to have obviously quality, but also volume. And everybody wants to shy away from, well, let's not just do MQLs because they might not be in market. But there is some value into the concept of the marketing qualified lead. It's kind of like addressing your TAM and then figuring out in the TAM who's in market. What were some of the signals once you were trying to refine down into figuring out who is an opportunity as opposed to an MQL? How did you figure out who's in market and actually an opportunity to chase?
A lot of that comes down to the standard kind of qualification, right? Budget, timeline, availability. Are they issuing an RFP? One thing that's really different about the CDP category compared to my world, and I implemented CMS, I implemented marketing automation, I've been in kind of all of the different marketing technology waves where in marketing automation, a lot of times it was just you met with a partner, you kind of went in, you evaluated. CDP is so driven by RFP cycle. And I think a lot of that came out of maybe the pandemic. Everybody was sitting around sort of like, well, it's just an issue in RFP. People weren't going to trade shows to kind of have those organic conversations. I mean, that's the best logic I can come up with, but it's very RFP heavy. So honestly, the presence of, are you issuing an RFP? When are you issuing that RFP? Who's invited? Becomes almost a natural kind of organic qualifier that we don't have to create some convoluted scoring system that immediately bumps them into a new category that sales can get attached to.
It's one of the things that I struggle with the most. We run a podcast production business, and figuring out when people need a podcast, when they are in market, there is a very challenging signal. And I'm sure lots of brands, that I don't mean to make this all about me, but struggle with this, which is, yeah, if there's an RFP and people are going out and soliciting you to give a quote, that's a pretty easy way to figure out if they're in market. For the rest of us, it's not that simple. Somebody might be interested in pursuing a podcast, but they're not coming to me. I wish they would come to me more often and say, hey, we're thinking about podcast production. Do you want to provide us with, you know, your products and services? Most of the time I have to go hunt and kill as opposed to the meal dying on my doorstep.
Well, it's such a blessing and a curse too, because you get an RFP and you're like, great, I know you're in market and I know you're buying. But you also have no opportunity to kind of influence that buying cycle. You're just one of five or six vendors that are trying to shortlist.
It's a direct comparison.
It's a very direct comparison, often led by some analyst firm who's doing a scorecard. And so we do very well in them, and thankfully it works. But yeah, the goal is to try to figure out, how do you go 5% sooner? The people who are, before they've made their shortlist, or before they've even picked that, are, you know, yes, we're going to do an RFP, but I've got a pain point. And that's where, I mean, trade shows come into play in a lot of those events. We're starting to do a lot more regional and focused events. I think the large, massive trade shows, there's a few of them that work really well, but they're a great volume category. But I found post-pandemic, the buyers look at how they attend things very, very differently. They're looking for not a lot of glitz and glamour. They want some solutions. They want to make their life easier. And then they want to get back home to their kids or family. And it's just a very different market than it was even 5 or 10 years ago. So we do a lot of virtual. We do a lot of webinar content. My webinars are unique in the sense that they're all educational, but we do a call to action at the end. Hey, look, if you've been thinking about a demo, you want to try CDP, do it now. And then we usually have some offer. Honestly, things like, I'll give you an iPad if you take a demo. And people are like, that's crazy. And I'm like, no, the reality is people who are in enough in market and are willing, like that's big enough to get them off their butts and to do a demo and take the time and put the investment in. But it's so big that most people aren't going to like tire kick you on that because they feel guilty.
It's an iPad, not a Vision Pro.
Right, right. Yes. We do those. And those are great pipeline generators because they're educational. They're not salesy. It's not, here's our product this month. And, you know, it's always like, I did a CDP speed round, 10 things you need to pay attention to in the next year that will impact either your buying or how you use your CDP. And we do those kind of things on a monthly basis. because I think while the world is full of education, there's no shortage of education. I think there is a shortage of good, honest education. People who are not presenting education in a sales manner, but truly, here's what we learned. This is what I've done. This is what I've heard. Use it as you'd like.
This goes into the other part of your title. When you think about thought leadership, you mentioned you're creating webinars, you're going to events. What are some of the other ways that you're creating thought leadership that you feels like not only helps you build that awareness, that demand creation, but also the demand capture?
Thought leadership to us kind of falls into three buckets. We think of it as market trends and where is just the marketing space, right? We primarily sell to marketing, data engineers, AI, ML, kind of where is that world going? Because we sit at the intersection of so many companies, industries, verticals, we have a unique perspective. So where's that going? Then there's the more tactical thought leadership. How do you, as the listener of my content, how do you become better? So how do I make you a better marketer? How do I make you a better engineer? How do I get you up level? And then there's the kind of last one, which is the financial ROI element that we typically focus on. How do you get results? How do you get return on your investment? How do you make the wise decision? And those are the three pillars that we focus on with thought leadership. And then within that, it's a matter of what's the conference, what's the event, what's that best focus for any of those pieces? Because like I said, the webinars, it's a great channel. Let's get together, let's talk about market trends, or let's talk about tactical. ROI gets boring in webinars. So we do those typically more in workshops, in person with people who are either evaluating or they already have a CDP, starting to see this growth, right? They already have a CDP. It's not quite doing what they want. So now they're looking at either adding on another one or re-implementing. So they want to sit down and kind of work through what they've learned and now where do we go next? And so a lot of that is more tangible in-person type stuff.
So I guess the last question I have for you today, Zach, is when we think about your marketing strategy and how that turns into pipeline growth, you've got this multi-channel approach. You're doing a lot of thought leadership, webinars, you're present at conferences. I'm sure you're doing plenty of content marketing. What's the way that you think about attribution? How do you figure out the impact, all the, let's call it brand marketing you're doing, and how does it actually feed into the bottom line?
So I think we look at attribution in kind of two categories. One is, like you said, that capture what is actually leading to somebody requesting a demo or signing up. And so both the first click, last click, but also just the influencing content. We don't look at first click, last click heavily in the sense that those just happen to be in that sequence. I think a lot of people get too hung up on first and last click. To us, it's directionality. Are we in the right space? Are we starting in kind of in the right category? But we do a complete kind of multi-touch attribution model. It's all fed into our systems and we look at total scoring across all of that. But we also look at attribution on a secondary level, which is moving somebody along the pipeline. So getting them in to that first step or creating that lead is great. But what content are they engaging with? What are they doing when they go from, hey, I'm interested to, hey, I want a demo to, okay, now I'm in a buying cycle and how do we move them from stage one to stage two to stage three to stage four? And what are they consuming along the way? Because we found that as buying committees have gotten significantly larger, people pop in and out. And so they're still consuming new content in the middle of a buying cycle. So again, looking at attribution, not both just on that lead capture, but then also the full kind of sales cycle. Where can we influence?
You know, often we think about marketing and we think about that initial impression, about building brand awareness, trying to think about nurture maybe every once in a while, but make sure that we describe ourselves efficiently and then start to focus on getting someone to go down the funnel. And the reality is the customer journey is never linear. We've all heard the saying, always be closing, right? When you're in sales, you always want to be trying to drive the person closer to the final yes, adoption, making their decision and putting their money where hopefully your mouth is. In reality, it's not just always be closing. It should also be always be marketing. When you're in a buying cycle, your customers still need that reminder, that retention, that impression, that other gesture that you're continuing to educate, providing value into the market that is not just an initial impression. It's something that has to last throughout your entire buying cycle. And to me, that's really the trick for making the connection between your customer marketing strategy and your pipeline growth. And that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks for listening to my conversation with Zach Wenthy, the Director of Customer Marketing and Thought Leadership at Treasure Data. Join us again tomorrow when Zach and I continue our conversation talking about effective brand strategies in a crowded marketplace. If you can't wait until our next episode and you'd like to learn more about Zach, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can visit his company's website, which is treasuredata.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.